episode number 159 of We Talk Comics. This is WTC OST. That's right, because we're going to be talking about official soundtracks. But I'm going to first off, just going to throw it out to my friend Brett, who is the chief defender of the faith.
Defenders of the faith, yes.
Yes, and Brett, who am I? Go ahead and tell them.
Prince of Charisma.
That's it. And my name?
Oh.
Mask of the Motasm.
Mo! Right, that's it. It's only two letters. How did I forget that?
It's Mo, yeah. All right, so we have the Cup Reporter, Kay, who is also with us. Keith?
Yo. Happy to be here.
And, man, the man with no nickname, but more importantly, happy birthday, Chris.
Don't hurt me.
Chris is your man. Look at you. You are the oldest member of the podcast, if people didn't know, of the four of us. And look at you. You're so old that happy hour for you is a nap.
Oh, God, I wouldn't laugh, but it's true.
And the rest of the time is drinking time.
The other 23 hours are the drinking time. Happy hour is the nap. That's right. Anyways, Chris, don't act your age. You'd die. So let's.
Oh, yeah. like there's that much difference.
Chris's teeth and him, they sleep in different rooms. It's unbelievable. Anyways, no more roasting of Keith. Brett, this was your topic. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about it?
All right. Well, I thought to myself that, you know, there's so many songs that we listen to, you know, that are part of soundtracks that we completely associate with characters now. And so I thought it would be really interesting to, you know, look over those. And I know that there's some that I've heard that I just absolutely love, that I think that even though they're not like ubiquitous, they're still really awesome songs. And I thought that it would be great to kind of pull those out and shed some light on them for now. But I think one of the things, like, there's three songs overall that, as a comic book fan, you know, these songs could run through my head at any given moment. I mean, I brought it up just at the end of the show last week, the Superman theme. You know, it's just so awesome, and I can remember even seeing Superman Returns and just waiting just to hear that theme in that movie, you know, with Brandon Routh as Superman flying, and it was still a great moment. Also the Spider-Man theme from the original animated series, the, you know, Spider-Man, you know, it's great. It's the only thing that was great about that show, but it's...
Hey, that's fight words right there.
That's unfortunately, that would become its own show topic, but how dare you?
And finally, of course, the Batman from Batman 66. I mean, we all know and love that, and I will call the show great as well. Then.
But like, yeah, you can talk shit about Spider-Man all you want. Just don't touch Rocket Robin Hood, because that shit was gold.
And I mean, obviously, we can talk about Star Wars and the Star Wars theme, though that was that's not specifically based off a comic book property. So, but those are the three themes that right off the bat I kind of wanted to talk about because everybody knows those ones. So let's talk about memories and such. Keith, do you have any?
That Spider-Man theme always makes me think of the, you know, the opening montage of scenes from the show. I mean, the show didn't run that long.
No.
I remember that there's in the opening or closing crawl, there's opening or closing montage, there's footage from the Kingpin episode, which for some reason never aired in syndication when I was growing up. So it was like every episode was a constant torment. Like maybe this is the Kingpin. No, this is the other Planet X episode.
That's nice.
One of the two episodes that almost completely duplicates Just Planet X.
I definitely saw that one though. I definitely saw the Kingpin one a few times. I don't know why you never caught it.
No, I would every time it was on like 5 days a week for quite a long time, and every time I'd be like, maybe this time, come on, give me the no whammies. I still don't know if I've ever seen the Kingpin episode. I'm sure it's quite easy to find now. But yeah, I always think of that Kingpin, flash of Kingpin in a fire or something that they're fighting.
Yeah, it would be interesting to go back and watch them all as a group now, as opposed to, you know, because I know that when we were kids, we were just seeing probably the same 10 episodes over and over again.
Made in Canada, by the way.
That's right.
Canadian company.
Speaking of which, Spider-Man and the Amazing Friends, I just found out this recently. You know there were only 10 episodes?
Is that true? Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends? That can't be right.
It ran for freaking years. And it was just the same 10 episodes over and over again.
I've decided let's not call Chris on this one.
Yeah.
Let's just let that sit. You know, I don't know if I've seen any of those 10 episodes. There's a lot of shows from a certain period in the early 80s, when superhero cartoons kind of started to get a footing, that never played on what we called peasant vision when I was a kid. I didn't have cable at all growing up, so I had the two Canadian channels and then one of like a variation of CBC. It was like half CBC content. I never saw Spider-Man, His Amazing Friends, Fantastic Four, Shazam. I never saw any of those.
I did enjoy Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
Well, when I was a kid, I did, but when I watched it as an adult, I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah, well, sure, but that's one of those cases where I wouldn't go back there. You know, the 1967 Spider-Man, I would absolutely go back there, you know, and try, even though I know that, like, in season two, it's a lot of repetition, but you know, I'd still try it, because I know what I'm getting.
You know what, it was weird, like, I remember like an episode that it only aired a few times, like, there was some episodes that were more rare than others, and, like, I remember the episode that every time it aired, like, me and my friends or sister and stuff, we would run to the TV to watch for some reason. That was when we took on Flyboy, who isn't even like in the, you know, in the comic book or anything. And I don't know why this character who had this flying helmet, basically, with this cape, and he was another good guy, but it was two good guys fighting. I think that's what it was. That was just crazy. Anyways, we're getting off on the cartoon too much.
A little bit.
Let me tell you the best thing for me about that Spider-Man 66 cartoon is all the great versions that people have done over the years singing it. Like, mm-hmm. So many bands over the years have done versions, and you have like swing versions, and you have, of course, the Aerosmith did one for the movie, the Sam Raimi movie, and you have the classic Ramones version that's just incredible. Like that's my favorite part about that theme.
And what a, you know, like, how amazing is it that this animated show that lasted two seasons from 1967, it, you know, the theme is so well remembered and so well regarded that people are still doing covers of it to this day, basically.
It was catchy, especially when you compared it to like some of those other themes that they were doing. Like, you guys remember the Bat or the Iron Man 66 cartoons theme?
Oh, yeah. that was actually one of the first thing that I wrote down was the Marvel Superheroes cartoon, which was an anthology cartoon from the 1960s. Iron Man, Captain America, Namor, Hulk, and Thor, and then they revolved them, and they were all basically just
the same.
Yeah, well, they were cut ups, like basically. Like an early version of a motion comic. They were all taken from the comics directly. They were like exactly just trimmed out figures from the comics.
They were pretty lazy efforts. I meant the song was the same, and I have it queued up to play. So. here. See, that's and crap.
And you know why I love that so much? I love that so much because all of the characters get their little their sub theme, and they tell the entire origin of that character in 18 seconds. That's what I love about those. There's nothing you need to know about Iron Man that's not in that song.
It's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
Yeah.
Something about I can't remember, but something that rhymes with rays, because he shoots people with rays. Like this is.
I love it.
That's all you need.
I mean, it's not as good as the Hulk one. The Hulk one is the best one.
Is it?
Find it. Doc Bruce Banner. Well, I'm not gonna look it up now. Brett can just drop it in right here. We'll be silent for a second. I can
look it up. It'll take like a half second.
And then it's 18 seconds long. So we're really eating into the showtime once you do that.
If you want me to, I could play the show. Just like I played that last one.
I was just actually trying to fill because I assumed you were already looking for it.
Oh wait.
See if I just go, oh, I'm not sure we have to for long enough, you'll have found it.
Keep talking, Dan.
Well, why don't I tell you my story of this? And it's a Chris is a dumbass story, so you guys will like it.
Excellent. Oh, that is my favorite. Yeah.
As a kid, I had no recollection of the show. I had never seen it. If you remember, sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, they came out with those on video cassette. And they were selling them in comic book stores for like $40 in the big blister packs. I bought one at full price.
Nice.
And I have to say, yeah. I still feel bad every time I see that show on YouTube or whatever. That, you know, I got it home and watched it for about 2 minutes and went, oh my God, why did they do this?
You mean this, which by the way has 5 million views?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Doom Banner, melted by gamma rays, turns into the Hulk.
Ain't he on glamour rays?
Wrecking the town with the power of a bull.
Ain't no monster clown who is as lovable
as ever loving Hulk.
Now I remember it because of the inglamorable or whatever.
ain't he unglamorous?
I think it was, I don't know what it was.
Oh, Mo's gotten all hollow here.
Yes.
What's that?
You sound like you're in a hollow room.
Well,
I think his lack of soul, it's affecting the audio.
How about now?
I tell you, what else do you need to know about Hulk that's not in that song, though? 18 seconds, you have the entire origin. This is like what I despised about the I shouldn't despise is a bit strong. What I was so disappointed by in the Amazing Spider-Man was how long they took to tell the stupid origin. 18 seconds is how long you actually need to tell an origin.
this is true. You should all elevator pitches should be 18 seconds then.
And it's catchy.
Oh yeah, I still got it in my head. Banner. That's good stuff right there.
But because, you know, really that to me is like one of the absolute keys. I mean, there's so many comic book movies have these theme songs. And at the end of it, you know, I'm like, I don't know, remember the theme song. I mean, I could watch a movie 3 times and be like the Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. I don't remember the theme song, you know, other than, you know, Spider-Man, you know.
Yeah. Wasn't it by Nickelback?
Well, no, score, I guess.
Yeah, the score. We're talking about the score. I mean, I think I would know it if I heard it, I think. But it's not one that stands out to me, that's for sure. And in fact, in the last few years, there's only a few that do. I mean, I love the theme. I remember loving when I watched the movie. I remember watching X-Men First Class and thinking the theme was awesome. And you won't hear me. And it's sort well. Yeah, no, I think that might be just about where it ends actually for recent ones for me.
I like the Avengers and I have gotten that one in my head to some degree. You know, it's a solid theme, but you know, it sounds like you're expecting a theme to sound like. Yeah, you know, and fair. I mean, they have to be big and they have to be heroic, but at least it's got something that kind of sets it apart. When you think about, when I think about, like, say, a Batman Begins theme, it's, you know, it just sounds like Inception to a degree, just, you know, shifted over to become slightly different.
But the Batman cartoon theme from, like, Batman Animated Series from the early 90s was a great theme. And then when they did Batman Mask of the Phantasm in the theaters, they took that theme and they added more of an orchestra, and then they added a choir singing to it, and it was freaking great.
Interesting. I haven't listened to that in a long time, so.
I do find it, I mean, maybe it's just, it's simple repetition that I haven't watched any of the more recent stuff nearly as many times. I found a playlist on YouTube that was about 80 or something superhero themes. Wow. So I just left that running for a while, and it was interesting how many, as soon as they came on, like within, you know, a couple of bars, I'm like, oh, that's the Spider-Man 1990s cartoon. It's not that I could ever hum it, but as soon as that one or the X-Men, especially the X-Men cartoon. That's the one. Yeah. I mean, as soon as it starts, I love the Tick. The Tick had a great theme song.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I suppose, though, in fairness, like TV shows and cartoons all have, you know, that ability to repeat and for us to listen to it so many more times than a movie, because, you know, you could watch 26 episodes of a cartoon and hear the theme song pretty much every time, whereas a movie, you're probably not watching that 26 times unless it's Keith and Man of Steel. But, yeah, so I'm sure you know that theme song pretty well.
It wasn't anything special, though.
Oh, just an Oscar-winning score.
Just nothing special.
The well, I do really like the music, the overall music from Man of Steel, and I liked. We talked about this on the Batman vs Superman. They use elements from the Man of Steel one to make thematic ties in Batman vs Superman, which I thought was really interesting. Like there's score for Pa Kent. That is used in all the Pa Kent things, and then in the second one, whenever it's talking about Smallville, it's that same repeated. So I like that.
I think that's great, actually. Like that's good, really good scoring of a movie, you know, to tie that stuff together.
That's one of the things you talk about Star Wars. That's one of the things that
mm-hmm.
I think made it really stand out. I mean, obviously, you know, the Imperial March is so different, but equally iconic from the opening title theme, you know, and that's part of what made that movie so great. And those movies really stand out, I think.
Well, in the way they repeated elements of those, I mean, certainly they take the elements of Darth Vader's theme and then deconstruct it to make Anakin's theme in the prequels, yes. For example.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the advantages of having the same composer do all of them.
And he's a super freaking genius.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that he's the greatest movie composer of all time. but that he's able to kind of like to take those things apart and then start like tie the different characters, tie the themes together that way.
And he probably honestly is probably the greatest. I mean, when you look at it, because I mean, he also gave us Superman, and you know,
that is
the granddaddy of superhero, like pure superhero. Yeah. Themes, like, I mean, that's it, right? It's the most iconic, memorable, and mm-hmm. and it's probably the best.
Jaws, come on, you have to give it. I mean, Jaws.
That's not a superhero movie.
I think he's adding the list of John Williams themes. Is that what you were doing there, Chris?
Yes, okay. I am.
I was there, Chris.
I just can't let anything go. Jaws is the best score of all time, so. If you're comparing John Williams, you have to. It's not. You have to say you have to leave room for Jaws, no matter what.
I would argue it's the second best superhero theme, though, Chris. I gotta take Mo's side with this one. At least second, possibly third best superhero. I'd say it's like as a piece of. I'd say it's the most memorable as an orchestral. Like, it's the most memorable theme out of all of them that, like, you know, putting aside the ones with lyrics that are, of course, always easier to remember.
Mm-hmm. Superman one?
Yeah. I'd say Batman. Batman's probably second, like, overall.
The 1989 Batman, mean?
No, I mean the
1966.
Okay, good. Yeah, good.
Do you count that one as lyrics? I this was a debate I had with my wife about whether you count that one as having lyrics or not. Because really, the lyrics are no, Batman.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much all the lyrics of Bat Dance as well, pretty much. That flips from the movie.
I don't think I would class it as having lyrics, even though those are lyrics to that degree. But, you know, think of it as the voice as an instrument, I think. And that's the...
This is what makes the Superman theme so great, is it doesn't have lyrics, but it's almost like it does. Like when it goes dun dun dun. You know, you're going Superman dun 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 dun. Like you're singing Superman with it. It's gonna fly and kick some ass. He's Superman, gonna kick some ass. Don't wanna fuck with Superman. Isn't that the lyrics? Those are the lyrics I made up. And then
yeah, a little bit of trivia. Gene Roddenberry wrote lyrics to that song that he knew they would never use, so he could get a cut of it.
Oh, really?
No.
Are those the lyrics? Those probably were. No. And then there's the part where this is the part where they're in love. They're in love, and she's going to do some poetry that bore you. This is the part where they're in love. You know, that part.
But, you know, it's interesting, though, because it does have those two separate parts.
Yeah.
Like, you actually, as a general fan, and, you know, you expect it to jump right into the dun 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 dun, and it doesn't.
Well, actually, the beginning, yeah, has this kind of prologue. I think it actually is a prologue, is what it's called in the title theme. It's like this prologue kind of slow build before it gets to that. But when it hits that, you feel like that's a man flying. Like that's, I hear that music, I think that's a guy streaking through the air, kicking ass.
Yeah, it works perfectly in every, you know, context. Like, you well believe a man can fly if... You know, they can put that out there, but if they don't have this theme, then nobody remembers You Well Believe a Man Can Fly.
Exactly.
Well, and there's kind of a tonal connection between the Superman theme and the Fleischer Superman.
Mm.
Like, there is that same kind of, it's trumpety. It's like, you know,
that's true.
Push your chest out. You know, now's the time to do your duty. Kind of, it's almost like a marching band music. Like, it's just very pomp and circumstance.
But you know, I always thought of these Star Wars and these Superman themes of as the two that you could put side by side. To me, me, they're like cousins. You know, yeah. in their sound.
You know, it's also good, Jaws.
Jaws. Hey, well, if we're gonna talk, though, I mean Superman was 1978, Jaws of course, or Jaws was 75, you know, 1977 with Star Wars. But we're gonna talk a theme that I don't know if it's the greatest theme, but I don't even know if it's good for the show it was on, but we're talking, just captured that 70s feel. Is Wonder Woman the greatest theme of all time from that perspective?
It's you know, Wonder, I mean, yeah. Woman. Because again, everybody remembers that, you know, that part. Nobody, like, I don't think you could find anybody who remembers anything else unless they just finished watching the opening. But, you know, afterwards you talk to somebody, Wonder Woman! Yeah.
So like, exactly.
So you want to mess with those people. Like, when they're like, I know the whole theme, it's Wonder Woman! Da 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 da. And you're like, no, the theme's actually 6.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
I know, it seems short. Seems shorter.
It gives her an origin. Really long.
It takes 18 seconds to do her origin. And then there's a prologue.
Yeah. It's true, though. I mean, they go, yeah, I mean, I can't remember the lyrics for it, but there is a ton. There's a ton of lyrics.
Linda Carter was hot.
Linda Carter continues to be hot.
Yes.
That's probably true. That's probably
true. So one of the themes that I thought of, which actually, you know, I can still, you know, bring up in my mind to this day, even though I've only watched the movie once, is from the Superman Doomsday animated series. It's the theme by Robert J. Kral. And, you know, it stands out to me because it's so heroic and it's so memorable. And yet, here it is on an animated movie. I mean, it's better than, well, I mean, I would argue that it's better than like Batman Begins by like Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard, right? And yet here it is just over there on a on this animated movie. It's like, I think it's great.
Actually, all those early DC animated movies had excellent scores. I remember the Wonder Woman score actually for that animated movie was also excellent.
Yeah, these are ones that are a little bit off my radar. I definitely have to go in, I mean, and check that out then, because I mean, I've only seen the movie once myself, but it's you know, and it didn't resonate with me, but that doesn't mean it's not great.
Robert Kral also scored Green Lantern First Flight and Superman versus the Elite as well. And okay. Angel.
An Angel. Okay. Yeah, I know that there's some guy, I think his name is like Christopher Drake or something like that. It's the guy, he's done a whole bunch for them of the more recent animated films. And most of them are pretty good, except for that they sound exactly like you'd expect them to. You know, the one I liked was it's only 18 seconds long. Like, so Keith will like it. It's a very short opening, but it doesn't have any lyrics. So, but nevertheless, it gets the point across in the Justice League. But when it became Justice League Unlimited, it went from this heroic orchestra to this like guitar, a kind of aggressive theme, and I didn't like it nearly as much.
Yeah, it's interesting because it definitely did give you that difference, you know, of sound, yet being the same theme for the most part. So
yeah.
I also, you know, like, it's interesting when you talk about some of the animated series, like even Teen Titans, because like the Teen Titans series is that kind of J-pop sound, you know, very Asian, little Asian girl singing kind of thing, and it's a lot of fun. But so the Teen Titans Go, you know, when they brought the series back, it's a similar theme. You know, with the same, you know, thematic feel, but it is a different song, and they're both a lot of fun.
Chris, why don't you jump in with one? You haven't really given us something that to you is really, other than the Jaws, which is one of my favorite comics of all time.
This one's going to surprise you. I absolutely adore this little cartoon, and I don't think anyone here other than myself has watched it, but it is the Superhero Squad. The theme song in particular,
oh, it's hilarious. Off the
beginning, is spectacular. We're talking a 250-pound man, get up and dance every time for the opening. They play it during the show, and it is one of those bombastic, just get the blood moving scores. And I think that's why I love the show so much. On the strength of the song alone,
the show actually has a lot of positives to it. Like there's some, especially in the first season, there's a lot of like decent adult moments that are kind of placed into there. But the theme itself, totally. Like every time they hit to it, you know, when it's like time to hero up, squaddies, you know, those moments, the stings, and it's like. It's fun.
Real, I'd characterize the second season as much more adult. I mean, they're doing Thanos' quest.
Well, yeah, but Thanos is, you know, Thanos is such a different character than...
I just love that second season, especially since they do the stories like 1602 and like that, the Neil Gaiman stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
Planet Hulk and...
I guess when I say more adult, I don't mean like the feel of the show, because the feel of the show in the second season is more adult. But what I will say is that there's like more adult jokes thrown into
clever aside.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The clever aside that only the adult would pick up. Yes. We know what you're talking about, Brett.
There you go.
There you go. Can I say, Brett, when you brought this topic up, I'll tell you the first movie that came to my mind, and I'm actually surprised nobody's brought it up yet, was The Crow.
Mm.
And it's because The Crow had a symphony score, but mixed in the alternative sound, music-wise, of the era, just as it was emerging, like a perfectly timed thing, creating juxtaposed thank you these two sounds of this orchestra and then this alternative hard rock. And like I say, I think like that movie, like the script is paper thin, but it's a visual and oral masterpiece in the way it's crafted, and that's why it's such a cult favorite and has been. And so, like, when I think of the music, that's that music captured that just that feel of the city. You know, the alternative hard rock just captured the feel of this city where the characters are all sad and pathetic and they've all given up on life, and it captures that. So, but then the score, like I say, against that, I think Chuck's Petosed? I came close.
Supposed. Not even close.
Chris, you do it. You say it.
Juxtaposition?
Well, that's not the right word.
Yeah, but it's more accurate to what you're talking about. So,
no, I don't think it.
Juxtaposed was the right word. He's looking for a verb form.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Juxtaposition would be a noun form.
Exactly. So, anyways, the point is, I was right. But, but no, this is the movie.
We all have the same problem, which is we grew up reading superhero comics, so we know what these long words mean, but we've never heard anyone say them out loud.
No, exactly.
I said hyperbole wrong for like 10 years.
Oh, I still say hyperbole.
Yeah.
Isn't that the football championship?
Yeah,
hyperbole. Hyperbole.
For years, I would say hyperbole, and Brett would go hyperbole, and I'd go shut up. No, but yeah, I just think that like to me that soundtrack is it, that movie wouldn't work without that soundtrack as effectively as it does because of what it captured. It captured the 90s. It captured the end of glam metal and the need to shift in music and kind of where the society was as far as like that Gen X feel. And so all this stuff. So I think that's one that we would be, I mean, people forget that it was a comic book first, but I mean, we'd be remiss to leave off the list. Fuck!
We are reminiscing, but
we're reminiscing.
Remiss.
Closing that. That's the position.
Well, I haven't gotten to my favorite comic book movie theme. One the closest, close to Chris's heart, close to my heart. Josie and the Pussycats. That's a fantastic soundtrack. The music is by, I believe it, Veruca Salt did the music for it. And it turns out it's not Rachel Lee Cook singing in that film. I love the simplicity of the lyrics because it tells you, again, everything you need to know about them. Long tails, ears for hats. Like, you get it. You got all of
right there.
All of relevant information is gathered in that song.
That's funny. Another one that I love is from the Black Panther animated series that was on Netflix for a while. I don't know. I don't think it's still this, but
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They were. I don't remember how long they were. 13 minutes long or something.
That's the one that Brett, it's a TVMA. And there's also the Iron Man one. These are from like 2009. Isn't that the one? Like there was a Black Panther. There's Iron Man, Thor and Loki one. I think there was Hulk one.
Are they motion comics or something?
They're motion comics, but the Black Panther was actually produced for BET of all things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Never aired in America. I know because I kept looking at it because it was listed as Black Panther, the animated series. And I so desperately wanted to see actual animation.
But it's still on Netflix. I almost watched it two nights ago.
It is,
ago.
Yeah. Just looking
it's actually, I think it's really good.
Oh, it is. It just, it was disappointing when you're expecting full animation and it's motion comics.
Yeah.
But the theme song is good.
The theme song kind of has that, like, has a bit of, like, funk, blaxploitation kind of thing going on. So to me, it's like, yeah, that's awesome. You know?
Oh, we'd be remiss not to remember that one, huh, Brett?
Yeah, we'd be reminisce to forget that. You're right.
Well, I mean, I think we're leaving off the list, though. The obvious greatest choice of all of these. I think you guys have screwed up not bringing this up because this counts. This has enough of a comic book turnover that it counts, or tie-in, or whatever you want to say.
I'd like to apologize, Mo, because I thought you could have brought up anything at any point. I didn't know we were holding you back then.
I'd be waiting for you guys to bring this up. I don't want to bring up all the good ones. But Transformers 1986, the movie, that theme, those soundtracks... That is the greatest thing that has ever existed.
I guess I wouldn't count it as a comic book movie. I mean, it's no Jaws, but still, no. I never think of Transformers as a comic book property because
it's you know, they had a comic book and then they had the series, yeah. And of course the series had the classic theme, Transformers.
Did they have a comic before the cartoon?
That's a good question.
Probably about the same.
Yeah.
I think they were both 1984. Because the movie came out in 86. I think the comic book and the series both came out in 84. And Transformers. Like, tell me you just didn't walk around with your friends going. You all know what it meant. Come on, we're imitating the transforming sound. Let me hear each one of your transforming sound imitation right now. I want to hear the transforming sound imitation from each one of you. Start with you, Brett.
All right.
All right, Keith. Well, that sounds more like.
I didn't quite finish the transformation. I made it like two thirds of the way. that was robot to truck, and I kind of went robot to like, you know, minivan.
Yeah, that sounded more like one of the droids trying to talk and stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Chris,
can I refuse on a religious basis? Nope. In my school, there was definite G.I. Joe Transformers line, and I know where I stand.
Chris.
That's a tough us them, yeah.
I don't get you. I know you still went.
I never had one. I was kind of jealous of the kids that did. Those are expensive toys in comparison to G.I. Joe.
I actually never had a Transformer. Never had a single.
I had a GoBot.
Yeah, we all. the poor kids got GoBots. That's what happened when we were young. Poor kids got GoBots.
Okay, so it went on though to the movie. Which had like this hard rock theme from like, I think it's Vinnie DiCola, I think was who did it. And then it has like all the great songs like Stan Bush, The Touch. You got the touch.
And I guess the great part about that is that's in Boogie Nights, you know? Yeah,
the greatest song of all time. And it had, for some reason, Great Canadian hair metal band Kick Axe. For some reason,
Spectre was General. Yes,
was Spectre General on this, and they had two songs, "Hunger" and some song from that Streets of Fire movie that they covered.
That's but awesome. I'm still like, at the same time, like Kick Axe is fine, but Spectre General, that's a really cool name.
It's a great name. Like, stick with Spectre General. It had Instruments of Destruction. It was another song. Stan Bush had another song, Dare.
Yeah,
I remember that actually. It was Dare because for some reason also that nobody understood. The last song on the soundtrack that this one of these things is not like the other was Dare to Be Stupid, which is Weird Al Yankovic's.
Really?
Yeah, it's Weird Al Yankovic's parody of Devo. And so this is the greatest soundtrack. greatest music, greatest song. The soundtrack itself was like this hardcore, hard, heavy metal guitars and solos. And then it had the touch. We got the touch.
We got the power.
Yeah.
I love that song. Yeah.
It is. It's great. The Transformers theme performed by Lion. Yes.
That's right. Lion does like a hair metal version of the Transformers theme from the TV show. More than meets the eye. It's so great. this is a great topic, Brett.
See, yeah, I mean, we should just record an album of Mo performing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I tell you, I'm making a little, I'm keeping a little list though. So if we ever want to set up a Patreon, we know we have some benefits that we can give our supporters.
There you go.
So one of them is the archives from our WhatsApp, and the other is Mo's album of cartoon theme songs.
Okay, so here's another one, Dan. Okay, so we're talking about we already played the Iron Man one, right? But you guys remember the 1996 Iron Man? It was only on for like a year. Nobody watched it, but it had the greatest theme of all time.
But it changed in the second part of the first season when they changed the animation.
It did. It was no longer as good. But it
no,
was,
no. It's we're like, talking about the bad cartoon, but the, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I am Iron Man.
Yes, I remember Iron that.
Man. I am Iron Man. I'm making fuck.
Okay, I don't remember that part.
you're getting a little hoarse there. Can I get you some lemon tea?
And then there was, and then there would, be, and then for some reason, like there would be like complete wanking metal guitar. And then
it was the '90s.
Iron Man, I am Iron Man. It's great. I'm gonna find it and actually play it. You guys talked amongst yourselves.
I did really like the Armor Wars episodes of that show. I think that's the only thing I ever made it through. The soft spot for Armor Wars.
I do love Armor Wars.
Yeah, they, I think it was a two-parter that they did that they covered Armor Wars. I mean, they obviously left out a lot of the grittier, like, murders and stuff.
What?
I'm going to love if Mo finds this theme and it's nothing like that.
Yes.
That'll be my favorite thing. Like, what am I thinking of then? Did it go, no, 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 Iron Man?
It's interesting because I remember, like, there's a direct-to-video anime version of Iron Man, The Rise of the Technovore, and that one had a pretty cool theme as well, because of course it was that anime, so it was like Marvel meets anime, crazy theme music, psycho.
Hey, you guys want to hear it? You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hope there'll probably be an ad first because it's off YouTube.
Oh man, you totally undersold that. I was air guitaring during that.
It's true. It is true. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff right there. Most mic has gone out again. I wish you luck getting the levels good on those songs too, Brett. Lots of luck there.
At least you don't have to drop in those songs. I did it for you.
So, oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that'll make it much smoother when he does the edit.
I took all the work out of it there. I hate to tell you guys this, but obviously I decided a long time ago, this one wasn't for you guys or the listeners. This one was for me.
Yeah, like I would ever worry about about the concept of
Brett,
editing Brett, this
and making Brett, you're it the, free. you're certainly the expert. Did Codename Firearm have a good theme song?
Oh, that is really, and it's not Codename Firearm, it's just Firearm.
Oh.
Codename Firearm is just a really, really bad attempt at a superhero version of Firearm that they did later.
Okay, James Robinson on it.
Oh man.
But no, I don't remember. It has actually been a long enough, like a very long time since I've watched that movie because
I don't. It's on YouTube. I bet it's on YouTube if you want me to look it up.
Yeah,
you know we do.
Yeah. I'm gonna mute it. Meantime, hold on,
because I only own the movie in VHS. Because I doubt very seriously that it ever came out in any other way.
Probably not. I would assume not. It's probably in VHS and like the original 3/4 inch. That's at Chris's house or something.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably the only extant versions of it. It's the word I wanted, right? Extant? That's what I wanted.
Yeah, from 1993.
It is funny, I wonder if it is simple repetition or what it is, because I'm looking at the shelf of like all the Blu-rays of the Marvel movies and the X-Men movies and everything. And none of the, I can't think of the theme song to any of those.
No.
They all have an opening. Most of them have an opening credits sequence. X-Men definitely has an opening credits. They are probably things X-Men certainly, as soon as I heard it, like, oh yeah, it's the X-Men movie. I would like that one will come back, but I'm not sure I could pick the others out of a lineup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, it's really easy to, in some cases, to go with the comic-based movie. Like, when you hear that theme, like, if I heard the Batman, the Danny Elfman theme, I would know it in a heartbeat. You know, and it's a really good theme, but, at the same time, if you just ask me to kind of, pluck it out and, hum it for you, to be like, I don't know,
Yeah, it... One thing about from Batman Superman, they added in Wonder Woman has her own theme when she's introduced in costume, that is so incredibly different than everything else in the score, and some people really didn't like that, that it was like it called attention to itself because it is so different. And then we just recently saw the trailer for Wonder Woman that includes that, so it was that they actually created a theme song for her. Before she even had her own movie, which was interesting. I don't know that I can't remember the last time that happened. That because it is it's so it has different instruments than the rest of the score. It's like it really jumps out at you.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean I do appreciate the concept of DC at least looking ahead in that regard of giving everybody a separate score. That when they get their own movies, at least it'll kind of be there and it will have that tie in. I think that's really good. Like it's a part of just my favorite music overall, when you kind of bring back these elements from other songs and it just kind of helps give it that cohesion.
Yeah. I didn't listen for that in the Batman bits and Suicide Squad. I didn't pay it. I don't think I really registered a Batman theme. I think there is one in Batman versus Superman, but it didn't get ingrained the way the Wonder Woman one did for sure.
Okay, fucking found it.
Yay!
Here we go.
Thank you. where did all this begin?
There we go. Let's end it there. It's
how did I how did I not know that thing?
Yeah, it's kind of generic, but it's much better also than you would expect.
I didn't want to say at the time, but that is the ringtone of my phone.
No, I think it was generic, and then it had that little repeating that actually sounded more original. Yeah, well, it's that.
I remember the VHS boring it from Brett, loving it. Like I say, it's on YouTube, so I'm probably going to watch it when this podcast is over. It's only like 36 minutes long. I mean, yeah. It's done for like $1.17. I mean, we spent more money on this podcast than we spent nothing. That thing has, and it's a full movie. But I mean, James Roberts, I'm not sure if he directed it, but he sure wrote it.
No, he did write it. He didn't direct it.
Okay, but it's great.
We're gonna find out that Paul O'Connor wrote the theme song or something, though.
Well, no. But here's the funny thing: Dave Olbrich is detective number 3 in it.
That's awesome.
See? That's great. But so one of the things, so I'm looking at the IMDb for this firearm video, and so it shows people who like this also liked Nightman. Makes perfect sense. And then there's a few other things, and Kirk Cameron Unstoppable. And I'm like, one of these things is really not like the other.
Their sample size of people who like this may be quite small, though.
Really? I wonder why you would say that.
This was like, because this book shipped as a number one, but then this was like the polygraph, like zero or something like that, wasn't it? You had to, like, some special giveaway to get through?
It was the zero that it came with, yeah.
Yeah, but you, it wasn't a zero. It didn't go to the comic shops. Like, you had, it was some thing where you had to collect or something like that, or send something off to get it.
I'm pretty sure you could get it at the store. I think it was bagged with the tape.
Yeah, I think so. Well, no, actually, I think.
Sorry, I looked it up on IMDb. You know, you guys have it open. So it is. It has a rating. 27 people have rated this in the last 23 years.
So let's put it this way, and nobody
else. None of them is us.
That means that the four of us give it a 10. We could actually move this number.
Here's the scar part that's scary, and that means, and nobody will get this except for the three of you, but you guys will love this. That means that on IMDb, less people have seen and rated this than Disposable Lives.
Than Disposable Life, you mean?
Life, whatever. Disposable Life. Juxtapose that.
Yes, that's right.
I had a laugh when I found on, 26 people have rated Disposable Life. That's quite something.
Yeah.
Which is the movie with the four of us that we did when we were in our 20s.
You know what's funny is I didn't give a 10.
No,
I was a bit more realistic.
But on the plus side, at 7.1, it has a much higher score than Firearm.
Fair enough. It currently standing higher than Suicide Squad. So
yes.
So every
people think this is like a golf score or something like that, like or something, because I've seen it and I would give it a minus zero, like minus 4,000. Like, it's the worst movie of all time. It starred us. How good could you've heard this podcast
on a,
imagine
honestly,
this on film.
I love that I opened up this on IMDb and my I opened it up on the app so I can see what I gave it. I didn't give it a 10. I got. I'm in it, and I didn't give it a 10. I'm gonna be a little generous at a 7.
It doesn't have a theme either, so it's
Chris, the one who still hasn't seen it.
It would have had a theme song if that artist didn't want their music from it. after the screening, we had an artist take their music back.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty proud of that.
An artist that nobody never became anything, nobody ever heard from, was too ashamed to be part of this film.
And yet, at the same time, we still had a really good, soundtrack for the movie. It is
the best of the film,
absolutely. But
good local talent who signed on, but somebody went. No, my parents might see this. Oh man, the stories we could tell from that movie. Oh my.
the 20th anniversary audio commentary is what we'll do that for.
That's right. Yeah.
Is there? I don't even think
we need a DVD first, though.
I don't even know if there's a watchable version of the film. Like, I don't.
There,
know if
there is a watchable version. But like, no, like the only problem is that the audio was never truly completed on it. But there is a version that is, you know, essentially done. It could be. I attempted to get somebody to do it, but then I stopped working with him and never followed up. So, you know, and
74 minutes of gold, though.
Yeah. Oh,
74 minutes.
Something like that. There was talk of like an opening and like a long closing credits to pull the length out to 85 or something. Like if we really went, like everyone's name got its own plate, basically.
Yeah.
Probably be the most watchable part of the film.
my stuff was all gold.
No, you weren't that good, but Craig was awesome.
It's true. Yeah, we did.
He was great. He's one of the highlights. All right, so we have gotten completely off.
Really?
How much time we got left, Brett? Because there's one to me that we've left out that is huge.
Say 5 minutes.
All right. Anybody else have anything they want to throw out there? Should I go with the one that I think is huge that we cannot forget?
Is it Battlestar Galactica?
No, that is a great theme.
Great theme though,
but it's not. That's you know, TV first.
Hey, you got Transformers.
That is a good question. Who did the Battlestar Galactica theme? It's somebody. I think it's
Mike Post.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it's Mike Post, but not 100% sure, but I think it's very likely. So the one that I'm going to mention is the Lonely Man theme.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Aha. I don't even have to say the name of the show it's from, do I?
Well, not to me, but maybe to the listeners.
It took me a minute, but I got it.
All right, Chris, what is it?
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, the Incredible Hulk, the... that it's known as the Walking Lonely
Away
Man
into theme. The Distance theme.
Yeah, often shows up on like Family Guy and stuff like that whenever there's someone being sad, like this, you know, the Lonely Man theme goes in and they look back at the camera and then they walk off. Like there's one I know there's an episode of Family Guy where Stewie does that, where he like takes his coat and walks off the way that all the Incredible Hulk episodes ended.
Well, that's it. It's really the end theme, the closing theme for the show, yeah. But. Like that show was, like as a kid I loved it because I had the Hulk. But truthfully, I mean that show is it's not it is sad, you know, like it's not superhero-y in that way. Like it is sad. He's this Hulk character and he can never stay in a town and he always has to leave and he's always alone and it's. But the theme is just incredible because, like I really think it's one of the best ever like themes ever. Comic book or not, and it's because it's like it sounds like the piano's out of tune and it sounds like the guy forgets to play what he's supposed to play next, and yet all that makes it work even more. It's like without any words, just the slow piano, it's so sad, which suits what they were going for. I think you can't forget the Lonely Man theme from the Incredible Hulk.
Did we talk about G.I. Joe? Because I mean, if you got Transformers, G.I. Joe was definitely a comic first, and that's okay. That's a great real American hero. G.I. Joe was there,
but it didn't have a movie.
Yeah, well, it did.
It had a movie.
Yeah,
and it was shit.
Yeah, you betcha.
It was really, awful.
You know, I love it. I love it because Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes fight. And really, nothing else had to happen in that movie. Like could have just been a white screen.
No. We're talking about. I'm actually talking about. In this case, I'm talking about the animated movie.
What's there of one?
G.I. Joe? Yes, there is a G.I. Joe animated movie, and it's one of those bad ones because it involves those characters from Cobra Law.
Oh no!
And so it's terrible because Cobra Commander becomes an actual cobra. And it's terrible because Cobra has the worst, rallying cry, Cobra, you know, and it became worse in the movie because suddenly they started saying Cobra, la, 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 la.
I cannot sit here and listen to you talk shit about Buzz Dixon's script. The man is a genius.
Buzz Dixon?
What did we hear? Yeah, Buzz Dixon is Chuck's brother, isn't he?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was Chuck Dixon for years.
So did I.
But no, he's a real guy. I've seen interviews with him now.
Wasn't there a story that Hama refused to write the Cobra Law issue? Like, because it's an annual or something. Like, he just wouldn't use the characters, and they wanted them desperately in the comics.
I draw the line at Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, I mean he wrote the Sergeant Slaughter issue and said Cobra Law. No, I can't.
Well, no, but I mean, actually, Sergeant Slaughter was relatively well used, and Sergeant Slaughter was in the animated movie. He was a major character in there. Like, I think he actually led the team to a certain degree, but
Sergeant. Yeah. I always thought Ninja Force is where Larry Hama drew the line.
Oh, no, Larry Hama wrote a lot of Ninja Force. But the problem was that Ninja Force was really where the series kind of jumped the shark in that original run. You know, because that was when basically ninjas were way more popular than the army. So G.I. Joe became a ninja comic book.
Okay, so I just want to say, let's go out then with favorite TV show or movie themes that aren't comic book related. Like, for instance, Chris hates Jaws, but other than that. but Brett and everybody, what are some that come to mind?
Littlest Hobo.
Oh my God!
That sucks.
That's a mic drop. Sucks.
No.
That's a mic drop, man. That's like it should be the Canadian national anthem. I love that song. Everybody gets the song stuck. If you're a Canadian of a certain age, and someone says, "There's a voice," you got the whole song in your head.
It's sort of like the Canadian version of the Lonely Man theme.
Which is exactly why I it popped into my head, because when you said the Lonely Man theme, I actually started singing The Littlest Hobo in my head.
The Littlest Hobo was this dog. It was a dog that went from town to town, had an adventure and saved like people, usually a kid, and then went to the next town. And yeah, it had this like folk country song. It sounds like Gordon Lightfoot, but I'm sure it isn't. Yeah.
All right, so, well, before I move on, Stu Phillips wrote the Battlestar Galactica theme, so there you go. That's not what I expected at all.
And you know what? I think it's Jerry Goldsmith that did the Star Trek theme, the movie themes, and I think those are great, especially...
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I think especially in the second one. I'm not sure actually if he did only... I think he only did the first one, the second one. Somebody else took over, but from there, they built upon his theme and got just great in Wrath of Khan and moving forward. So
Terry Bush sang the Littlest Hobo theme.
Stan's brother?
114 episodes. Wow.
Holy crap. That's amazing. I love
that. That's a lot more than Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Not one good one.
Oh man, I love that show. They get so much homework for the listeners now. They've got to watch Littlest Hobo on YouTube. They have to go to IMDb and rate Firearm 10 out of 10.
That's right.
And rate Disposable Life, maybe give it a 5.
That's fine. Let's just see if we can get, because obviously 26 people is more than have actually seen the movie. Now, that's a lot. But
no. We wish had.
I once found a tweet, a series of tweets on Twitter of someone who claimed to have a torrent of Disposable Life. They were just, I would assume, pulling random texts from IMDb or something, but I reported them.
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't want that out there. The most amazing part about this movie is, like, we did this movie for not much money, and we did it ourselves and completely independent, and still we managed to get two women to appear naked. I don't know how that happened, but I was pissed off it was a closed set that day, let me tell you. Still bitter about that. I was the producer, damn it. Executive, I threw money in. I deserve. All right. Keith, what are some that come to mind for you? Or Brett, did you have any besides the Little House Home? Any serious ones?
Actually, you know a good one that they actually kind of reused part of in the new animated series is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and not from the movie, but like, because the original one, that silly animated series, is so, it's lame, but they kind of take some of that and put it into the new one, and it's it actually works a lot better. It's a really good thing.
Cheers is arguably the greatest TV theme ever. And Golden WKRP Girls. Golden, oh, those Golden are. Girls, oh, that's a goal.
I got one to beat y'all. Suicide is painless.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
MASH. Suicide is painless is killer.
I mean, Matt. Everyone knows it is a MASH song, but I mean that's just good listening, no matter what.
Little bit of trivia there on MASH. Robert Altman's son wrote the lyrics, Suicide is Painless, though a song had been composed separately.
And retired?
Basically. It's on the audio commentary for the MASH film that because the song became a hit and then got used on the TV show, Altman's son made more off the film than Altman did. As the director of the film, because the song ended up on the TV show, and even though the lyrics aren't used, he still owned half of the rights to the song. So that, you know, the show ran 14 seasons or whatever, and he made money off every episode and, you know, years of syndication.
All right. Well,
learning's fun.
Learning is fun.
All right, the 3-minute warning has gone off.
Actually, we're just way over the 3-minute warning.
Well, then I'm just gonna do mine real quick. Number one, Perfect Strangers was a crappy TV show, but a great theme song.
Great theme. Yep.
Standing tall on the wings of our dreams.
And we did mention the greatest American hero. You're right.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good song.
Oh yeah. Actually, greatest American hero.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on it.
It was like a number one hit too, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, well, because I mean, it is a good song. Yeah, it's a
good song. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, and then for movies, I'm gonna say the two that to me that are my favorites. I'm not saying they're the best, but they are great, and then you can tell they're great because to this day they still pop up in trailers. People use these ones over and over again. That's from Rudy. It was a great soundtrack, just awesome. And maybe even better, Dragon the Bruce Lee Story was an unbelievable soundtrack. You'd know it if you heard it, both of them, because they're so incredibly famous, you know. You just, more so than the movies themselves, I think.
All right, well, let's go out.
Yeah. So next week is officially our 5-year anniversary. And we have something very, very special for our 5-year anniversary. Huge thrill for me. How about for our 5-year, guys, we talk to my favorite comic book writer of all time. Keith, you set this up here. What's going on?
Why the heck not? Let's do that.
In fact, how the hell did we get Chuck Dixon?
I'm not as hard on Dixon as everybody else.
That's only one of your flaws, Mo.
Penny. A hell of a singer, though.
Schedule for our 5-year anniversary episode is the amazingly talented guy who is going to tell us how to pronounce his name, J.M. DeMatteis. He's going to be joining us to talk about his new series, Augusta Wind, and the upcoming compilation hardcover of Seekers into the Mystery.
It'll be great.
It's gonna be awesome.
To be continued next episode.
Yeah. And other than that, find us wherever you find us, and I think we're OUT, right, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Totally putting the Littlest Hobo theme at the end of this.
Oh yeah.
No.
You gotta.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me down the road. That's where I'll always be. Every stop I make, I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. down.